Dive into the undead mayhem with Watching Weird as we dissect George A. Romero's classic versus Zack Snyder's reimagining. Who reigns supreme in the world of zombies? Join the debate, subscribe, and stay tuned for spine-chilling insights. Watching Weird is part of the Weird Realities Network. Welcome to the Wordverse.
Ooh, I don't know where Alan is, but there's a spooky Hare Krishna sitting in his spot.
Looks like Alan's going to start praying.
So I could do the whole show grumbling and stay in character.
It sounds like me when I'm on my desktop.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Sound great.
Good Lord. We've got one person in the audience watching. It's probably ourselves. So.
Yeah, right?
Maybe Scott.
I'm sad Scott can't be here. This is his jam.
It is. He's the expert.
Another zombie show.
What are we going to do without our zombie experts?
We shall endeavor to persevere.
Hey, Landa. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Scott is having a family emergency, but all is well. It is just a full moon, and he is at the hospital with family. So, but
I
so
believe
far,
all
so
is well.
Well, he said that there was no immediate danger, so it was just a concern. So,
well, that's
I don't want to violate anybody's HIPAA rights, so I'm not gonna say anymore.
HIPAA laws went right out the window for COVID, so.
Yeah. That'll come back and bite somebody one day. Yeah. Hey, Max.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, I'm excited. I love me some zombie stuff, and Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead is one of my favorites.
Well, you're lucky because.
Let's all start at once.
Dawn of the Dead is my favorite.
Well, so this was your pick this week.
Yep, it definitely was. 78. Am I dating myself?
Yeah, I think you made me watch this before, and I think that's where I've seen it. But it is not my favorite. I mean, I like the premise and all, but I don't like the zombies. It's just kind of old for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the first zombie movies that I saw. I saw Night of the Living Dead when I was a young kid, and then I went another probably 12 years before I saw another zombie movie, which was this one, and I absolutely love the old Dawn of the Dead. It's fantastic, but the remake, if you can even call it a remake, was just so terrifying, so scary that I think it's a superior film.
Well, I think that it is a love letter to Romero.
It's an homage.
Definitely, it didn't really compete. It just, like I said, it was like a love letter. It was to show his appreciation, I think.
It's a completely different film. The only thing that's the same are the fact that there are zombies and they're in the mall.
You kind of sneeze. So, Mike Lewis, my dogs, trust me, I've got one perched on each side of me. You will hear me talk to them throughout. So. Rich has got a cold. Boudreaux does too. Boo's sneezing in the background. And Wilson is, it's been raining here, so he's as close as he possibly can get because he's been in trouble.
Oh, boy.
So.
I'm trying to get this because my computer is having some issues with sound. So I'm just going to go back to this. Plug in Big Mike.
Well, there's a joke in here I won't make.
If it helps, well, we can hear you fine.
Yeah, I can't. My headphones aren't working, so I can't get through.
That's too bad.
Do you want me to intro the original Dawn of the Dead and then, or do you want to do the remake?
Let's do the original first, and then we can talk about our love for Zack Snyder's.
Okay. Well, let me break the ice with this one. I know Rich loves this movie. 78 Romero's opens up with chaos in a newsroom.
Everything is going crazy. You don't know what's happening. And it focuses on Fran. She's either a producer or something in the newsroom. And she has her boyfriend, Steve, the fly boy, and they're going to escape in a helicopter. And what they're escaping for is apparently this zombie apocalypse. And Roger and Peter are two SWAT guys that end up hooking up with them and taking off with them. I think Roger's the friend of Steve's, right? He's supposed to go with him. I get the names right. But what's neat is you got the chaos in the newsroom, and then it shows the chaos of this brownstone where you have SWAT and National Guard guys in there, and they're trying to get the dead out to re-kill the dead that have arisen. And in Romero's, instead of The Walking Dead, it's not when you die, you turn. It's you got to get bit and turn. That's something that's, I guess, was the foundation of Romero zombies, mm-hmm. or ghouls, or, you know, Night of the Living Dead was almost a whole different movie than this one. And this one is like the seminal godfather of zombie movies, really. I mean, Night of the Living Dead was scary as hell.
Yeah.
But it's a different movie than this one. So the four end up landing on top of a shopping mall and taking it over, killing all the zombies inside. And then they're living their best life for a little bit. Once SWAT guys get bit, believe it's Roger gets bit, and it takes a while for him to come back. And that pretty tore me up, that scene. But then they're set on by a bunch of by a biker gang, and they don't want to give up the crap they have. And, you know, the movie goes from there. I'm sure you've all seen it. It's the zombie, you know, you watch zombies now. They're really tame compared to, you know, Snyder zombies and the zombies involved in it. But as a high school freshman or junior, this movie, or sophomore, as a sophomore, this movie scared the crap out of me. I saw this movie probably 1,000 times at the midnight movies. My good buddy Ron Herrick, we went every Friday, Saturday night and watched this damn thing again and again. It was terrifying then. It's a classic. It's one of my favorites. It's not as horrifying anymore. I think it would scare younger people a little bit that haven't seen a zombie movie, but this movie was definitely the one that embedded my love of zombies. From there, anybody else?
I'll go. I think one of the big sells back in the day was the gore in this movie. This is a really gory movie, full of blood and guts. But the zombies themselves, they just kind of look like blue people. They're not, like, if you look at the Walking Dead zombies or the zombies in Zack Snyder's film, they're all torn up and you know, bits missing, and, you know, they hardly ever have a nose. But these things just look like blue people. They're just, but the simple fact is, in this film, you actually see people getting torn apart. Most of the time, you just see them getting bitten, or it's like, there's like a chunk or whatever. But this is like entrails coming out. And, oh, it was awful. Disgusting awful, I mean. I loved every second of it. The movie wasn't awful. there's a couple of things in the film that bug me. One of them is there's a scene where they haven't gotten to the mall yet, and they land at a little airport. And there's these two children zombies. And for whatever reason, they run. I don't get what they're like, super fast running around in this little room. That irked me. Because, I mean, all they had to do was say, hey, kid, don't run. And that would have been fine. But I think that's it. I think everything else in this film is great. There's a lot of tension. And one of the best scenes, and it's a really long scene, is once they get to the mall and figure out what they're going to do, they have to clear the mall out. And Roger's bitten. So what they have to do is Peter puts him in a wheelbarrow. And he's pushing him around. And they're just blasting zombies in this wheelbarrow. It was great. It was really great. And they had to go outside and they had to get these trucks and put the trucks against windows so the zombies couldn't push against it. The whole film is pretty tense. But this film is kind of an all-out attack on behaviorism, because the people are the bad guys and the zombies are just doing what they do. And the bikers that Alan mentioned, excuse me, the bikers that Alan mentioned, now that's cliche. You do that now and you get called cliche, but that was the first time it happened. So that was a new thing. You know, we get an evil biker gang that's going to come in and just wreck everything. So it was really well done. There was this scene where the bikers break in and they start, you know, crushing the zombies and shooting at the good guys, and the good guys are shooting back. And one of the bikers, you know, he's got these zombies running around and he knows, you know, that they kill people. And he sits down and he puts his arm in a blood pressure machine. And of course he gets torn apart and the blood pressure starts spiking. It was just really well done.
And I think what's his name was like, you know, I got a really cool effect for you guys. Yeah. We're going to have a arm pulled away from a blood. It's going to look, trust me, it's going to look cool.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was top notch for back then. And even now, I watched it last night and I thought it was really good. So but I could drone on this film for hours and hours. And I'm sure there's not a lot of people that are going to watch this that haven't seen it. And if you haven't seen it, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. Go see the movie. It's fantastic. It's on every streaming service ever. And it's likely going to be free. And if not, you talk to me and we'll figure some things out. It's a fantastic movie. It's very well acted. The direction is spot on. It lacks because it's a little dated now and the special effects are iffy. They're all right. I mean, they pale in comparison to what today has, but don't let that deter you from watching the film. It's just really, really good. Hadley?
So I did a deep dive. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've been talking. I had it on mute. So I did a deep dive and I found something very interesting. So I found the 1979 May 4th review that Roger Ebert did of Dawn of the Dead. He gave it 4 stars and he wrote, "Dawn of the Dead is one of the best horror films ever made, and as inescapable result, one of the most horrifying. It is gruesome, sickening, disgusting, violent, brutal, and appalling. It is also," excuse me for a second while I find my other list, "brilliantly crafted, funny, droll, and savagely merciless in its satiric view of the American consumer society." So I think that says a lot about the film.
Oh, yeah.
That puts a lot of perspective into it. I mean, this is, at the time, I mean, horror movies didn't get reviews like that from Roger Ebert. He gave it 4 stars.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I think he hated The Thing.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
I think so, you're right.
Yeah, that's rare. You're right. I mean, that is rare.
This movie had a lot of got rated like that back then. The critics didn't watch horror movies.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they were horror movies, you know. So for the top, you know, Siskel and Ebert at the time, the top dogs to watch this film actually speaks a lot for it.
Yeah. Well, this movie had a lot of, you know, like Tony, I was talking about the helicopter scene with the, you know, zombie stands up and you can tell, you know, it's a platform head, you know, but it was cool. You know, the blade comes up swinging, you know, that was cool. And like you said, the eating scenes, you actually saw, you know, people ripped apart, them eating the entrails. There's a scene where the ladies in the brownstone where the wife, her husband comes out, he's a zombie, and she's like, "Oh, Pedro, Hector, whatever." And he hugs her and he goes, "Ah," and he bites a big chunk out of her neck. And then he goes down and bites a big chunk out of her arm. And those look great. You know, really good.
I want to know how that rubber tasted.
Do you think that the reason this movie was so horrifying at the time was the fact that the zombies looked so much like people?
I mean, they are people. That's
well, no, I mean, like, they don't have the makeup. You know, it was just like blue paint.
It could be. You know, I was pretty young. I talked my dad into taking me and my buddies to see this, and it hooked my dad on zombies. Because Night of the Living Dead gave you no hope.
Yeah.
You know, that movie was was really nihilistic. This one, as a teenager, I was like, man, I could go to the mall, run around, get free shit, and shoot zombies in the head. Yeah. It kind of gave you that kind of feeling, you know, even though it was horrific at the time. It kind of gave you a video game sense of, you know, hey, this might be pretty cool. Other than, bathing for, weeks at a time. And, I could live on Snickers.
Until the Snickers run out. I mean.
Yeah, but that was
but you're not thinking. You're in a mall. A mall's got an endless supply of stuff, right?
Yeah. More Snickers than you can eat.
And you could always say you had books to read. What sucks, though, is you would have been stuck in every book that was written until 78. So we couldn't have got a book like yours or Rich's. You know, we've been stuck with all the writers up to 78. That would suck.
Yeah, hardly any zombies, right?
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I mean, this sort of movie genre is what, like, kind of shaped who I would be friends with in the future. I've got a contingent of friends that I know can live off-grid, and, you know, I plan, if anything ever happens, to make my way to them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and they weren't looking at it at that way, though, Hadley. They were looking at more consumerism part, you know, in the thieving part with the, like Rich said, the motorcycle gang was a new influence in this, you know, as them. What's the special effects guy? I know you're going to roast me on this.
Tom Savini?
Yeah, Savini. Savini's motorcycle gang, you know. So they weren't really looking at that aspect, I don't think, or they, Romero probably didn't even think that way.
Mm-mm.
You know,
I don't think so.
I'm
saying it shaped me as an adult. I mean, this genre really made me look at the way that we saw things when we were little. You know, say little. I was much younger than Alan, so
everybody was. Yeah. Well, it you know, it really, I had something there. It really is the Godfather. I mean, even though Night of the Living Dead is a far scarier movie and darker, this one really is the Godfather of zombie movies, I think. I think it really infused that genre, because there are a few zombie movies. The English had some. I think the English were doing zombie movies a little bit at that time. And then the Italians just did. Yeah, the Italians just jumped on this one. You know, they just jumped on it. And they actually had some cool-looking zombies, the Italians. I think the best Italian zombie movie out there is Zombie.
Yeah. That's Vulture. Yeah. It's
great. I've not seen an Italian zombie movie.
No, you're not missing anything?
Yeah, it's about as good as the sounds.
Huh?
I said they're about as good as they sound right now.
Yeah.
They're good fun. They're just not, it's not the same caliber of the American zombie movies, or even the British zombie movies, or especially nowadays, the Korean zombies, too. They're just the top notch right now.
We got a live hopping chat room tonight.
Yeah, hey, everybody, Craig, Mike, Max, Tony K, Doc, Landa, happy not your birthday. we're just rolling with this. Italians, like Tony Kanopka said, City of Living Dead, that's a good one to watch. To watch Zombie, though, because that's just a blatant ripoff of Dawn of the Dead. But it's great. It's got a zombie attacking a shark. There's a zombie shark scene in there. It's got this scene where this lady's eyes being slowly pulled into this gigantic splinter, and that is just horrifying, that scene. And there's a lot of nudity, so.
And it has the same neck bite that is in Dawn of the Dead. It's exactly the same. It's in the same spot. It's just from behind instead of in front. So it's spooky. But like you said earlier, Alan, Night of the Living Dead is all about terror. It's just terrifying. It's really, really scary. And it is, you're right, it's absolutely, utterly hopeless. There's just no way to win. And Dawn of the Dead is more about, we can make it if everything works right. But then, of course, you add that variable that nobody considered, which was the biker gang. A professional army is what Roger called it, or Peter called it. And then they're two different films.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely are. And then Day of the Dead's even a different movie from Dawn, really.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know. It's the next iteration. And that's when you started to see the infected that were all torn up, and there was missing bits of them, and there were rotten faces and stuff. That's the first one. That's the first film where we saw that.
Yeah,
that I can remember anyway. That's a great flick too.
Yeah, this movie's got so much. It's got, you know, there's tours, which too bad Scott's not here tonight, because you know he went on a tour of the mall there. He's been to the Living Dead Museum. You know, you can get the Iron City beer. The truck, I forgot the names of the trucks, but that's a big thing that they use to block off the mall. You know, there's just, this thing has there's so much merchandise, so much fandom out there for this movie, for this love of this movie. And I think it's, a lot of it is nostalgia, because a lot of it's a lot of people's entry into the zombie movies. I mean, not so much anymore. You know, anymore it's The Walking Dead drew a ton of people, which is great. Always great, you know. Whatever zombie movie comes out, bless you.
Thank you.
So you don't think that The Walking Dead kind of hurt the zombie franchise?
I think it burned out. I think it gave zombie burnout. When the first three seasons it was out, it was like we'd have watch parties, everything. Great, fantastic. Yeah. Wow. And then of course they couldn't keep it up.
It collapsed.
You know, they didn't have the zombie Viagra to inject into that. You know, it was just the same old trope.
And yet, it has fans like you can't imagine. They are diehard, and they would flip out if they heard what we were talking about right now. Absolutely flip out, yell at us, scream at us, point the finger. But you're right. The first three seasons of The Walking Dead are some of the best television on television. It was just great.
Yeah.
It was fire. I mean, it was too hot. But I've wondered if, because I know I burned out. I just couldn't keep up with it. But I mean, I did go back and rewatch like all the seasons. But after the whole Negan coming back, I mean, I just was like, please just shoot me. I just couldn't keep up with it. But like I said, I lasted about, 10 seasons? I don't know. But between just the burnout of the storytelling and the pandemic, I burned out on zombies. And I never thought that would happen, because it was, you know, I enjoyed it so much, but I really just don't have the fever for it like I used to.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people.
I want to answer Brett Palmer real quick. Where's JL Bourne? He's probably fortifying his Florida fortress right now. He probably got another wall to put up, or a moat, or another 1,000 reloads right now.
I was just going to say, he's reloading right now as we speak.
Yeah.
He's
pumping. Furiously, yes. Thanks for asking. JL.
Landa, that happened to me a while back.
You made your own ammunition.
Sorry, Landa, I was just kidding you. I know you're a October person. It's like me. But yeah, this movie is just... It's a monster. It really is. The fan base it has, and the things it introduced to the genre. You know, can I say that?
Yeah.
Genre. And so you've got to have some respect. There's people that say, it was cheesy, crappy, whatever. Well, it was a product of its time. You know, back then I was like, wow, this is, man, I want to be a SWAT guy, you know, because they were cool.
Well, and keep in mind, I don't want to age you or age shame you, but I'm a good 10, 12 years younger than you. So it's just, by the time I came around, there was other zombie stuff out that was more current to what I'd probably seen first. So to me, it just has that kind of 70s feel to it, you know?
Yeah. I will say the
blue people in it were not terrifying looking. And then you look at what was his name, Mr. What's his name in Salem's Lot, and he was freaking terrifying.
Yeah,
so they could have tried a little harder.
Well, and like Lee Edwards says, you know, he says it was like how cool it was to be held up in a mall when I could have had. That's how I thought, you know. And these, and at that age, they were kind of scary. I mean, you know, their attacks were, I mean, when they bust down the barrier, the SWAT guys, National Guard guys, and the zombies all flood out, and there's people, there's civilians in the mix too, and whatever. The zombies are just not really attacking them. They're just trying to get out. You know, whereas the modern zombie movies, they'd be straight on, you know, the zombies would be jumping on the live people. But this one, they just kind of push through them, you know? And so it's different. It's definitely different. But if you're looking at it from, you know, 1978, you're a teenager and you haven't really seen anything like this, you know, it's like, nah, this is cool.
Very nice.
And it's,
so it's a very different experience because I was not a teenager until the 87. So,
yeah, well. You sound like Tina now. I was in grade school when you were in high school. Yeah, I know.
Oh, dirty old man.
But this one just adds so much, like the soundtrack by the Goblin. I write to that soundtrack a lot.
Yeah,
it's got some really weird ass music on it, but it's definitely something you remember. You know,
the remake.
Yeah, from Johnny Cash at the beginning to Jim Carroll at the end.
Jim Carroll song is one of my go-to writing songs when I'm writing. I love that song.
Yeah. Well,
both of those were expertly placed.
What'd you say, Rich? I'm sorry.
I said both of those songs, the Johnny Cash and the Jim Carroll, were expertly placed. They were perfect for the scenes that they went with.
Well, let's segue over to that. So this is a good pivot. Do you think that this is Zack Snyder's best film?
Yeah, I do. There was a lot of blowback initially from a lot of the diehard 1978 Dawn of the Dead fans. You know, you can't do that. You can't make a remake like that. You know, it's 40 years later and it's going to be terrible. And holy crap, it was anything but terrible. It was just from 2 minutes in, it was the rest of the film was just terrifying. That little girl at the beginning, Jesus H. Christ on a popsicle stick. She was scary. And one thing, you know, you've been watching these movies, these zombie movies for so long. One of the things that was super taboo was running. You know, it had only happened in Return of the Living Dead. That was the first time we had running zombies, right? Do we have zombies that ran before that? I don't think so. I mean, maybe the kid zombies in the original Dawn of the Dead, but that was only one scene. But these things were fast, they were vicious, and they didn't like bite you and run away. They ate you, right? It was really scary. And there were a dozen scenes in this movie that just could not be done any better. When they go down into the garage, I watched that. I have seen that movie probably 20, 30 times.
You seen the 4K version?
Yes, I have actually.
I've heard it's better.
Well, they added some scenes and you can get is like a 4K director's cut. And there's a few extra scenes, but they weren't tremendously better. They were okay. I actually can't think of any off the top of my head. Excuse me. Jeez. But yeah, I absolutely love the 2004 remake. I don't think it's necessarily a better film than the original. It's just completely different. Like I said before, the only thing that this film has in common with the first one are that they're in a mall and that there are dead people running around. Everything else is completely different. All the characters are different. There's one cop as opposed to two SWAT guys. And it's Ving Rhames, who I absolutely love, and he nails it. But he starts off as kind of an asshole, and then he turns into a lovable character at the end. So you got that. You got your God complex guy, and you've got I can't remember the guy's name from Modern Family who's in it, who's a total douche, but he nails it. He nails it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think that's part of what makes this movie so good is it's got real actors.
Right.
It's not horror movie actors.
Yeah.
and there is a difference. I mean, but these are like serious actors, and I mean, Ving Rhames. Oh, yeah. I don't think he was Marcellus Wallace, but he looked like him. If it wasn't him, was he Marcellus Wallace?
He was. Yes, he was Marcellus Wallace.
Okay.
He was in Pulp Fiction. Yes.
So I mean, you have somebody who's in one of the best movies of all time, and they're in this movie, and they nailed the part, and it lifted the movie up, because the movie isn't so much about the zombies as it is about the people in the mall and how they are dealing with this event.
Yeah, true story. And we also have our first zombie pregnant woman and our first zombie baby.
Oh, that's terrible.
I had not seen that before. Terrifying. You saw the moment that attack happened at the fountain. I saw that coming. I was like, "Ooh, we're gonna have a zombie baby." And I honestly thought, because Ving Rhames falls in the, and he gets cut, and I thought, "Crap, he's infected too because of all the blood in the water." But he ended up not
being. Right.
So, this is another movie that if you haven't seen it, you should just, as soon as the show's over, go watch the film, because it's probably the best zombie film out there. This and the first one. Also, I'm a big fan of Day of the Dead as well. I'm a huge Day of the Dead fan. So,
well, it's it's got Eminem's favorite actor in there, Mekhi Phifer. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, this movie had a lot, like you said, like Hadley said, there's a lot of great actors in this, a lot of good actors in it. The lead, Sarah Pauly, she's like an A24 actress. You know, she was just doing these little indie movies. You know, and she just she nailed the part, you know, of the main, you know, actually the one that's probably the main protagonist in this, really. The what's his name? The guy, the male lead in it, he was good. Yeah, I can't think of his name. Jake Weber.
Yes.
Yeah, he did great. What's his name? Kella, the guy that played the mall cop. He plays Mike November.
That's not Michael Shannon, but
no, but
no, it's like Kelly's his last name. Is it Michael Kelly or
Michael Kelly?
Yeah,
Michael Kelly. Yeah, you've seen him in House of Cards.
Yeah, House of Cards.
The first thing I remember seeing him in.
Yeah,
was that movie. And again, just like Ving Rhames, although way worse, he played a total asshole at the beginning.
Yeah,
and then he turned into a hero. He was the hero. He saved everybody at the expense of his own life.
And he looks nothing like he does nowadays. You know, no. I was like, wait, is that the same guy that was in? Yeah.
Yeah. That's Jake Ryan.
So there are a lot of good actors in it. And Tony, I brought up that it was Sean Gunn and Zack Snyder together on this. And they've done some good things together.
Yeah.
You know, so that really helped. I think when Snyder is teamed with Gunn, you know, Gunn writing a lot of stuff, I think. It's a movie you can guarantee you'll be entertaining. This one I was surprised. It came out on the 18th of October in 2004. Okay, and I know this because that's my birthday. Gina's like,
well,
made a big deal about
to you.
It. Yeah, we're gonna take you. You know, we're gonna take you out to see this for your birthday, right? Well, some of my kids' friends were making a zombie movie at that time, and I got a bit part in it. I was the dad dropping kids off at a supermarket, right? So anyway, I knew these kids that were making a zombie movie. So we go to the movie, we come home, and we're getting out of the car, and these zombies come out of the side of our side yard, about four or five of them. And Tina had got the kids to dress up in their zombie makeup to attack us when we got home from the movie. I wasn't caring at that time, thank God, but that was fun. That was a neat little thing she did for me, you know, just a neat little story to remember.
Don't ever do that to me. I will shoot you. Don't ever do that to me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I will absolutely.
It would have had a different ending.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be in prison for shooting a bunch of kids playing zombie. And happen.
Right? But no.
Well, I rewatched it this morning, and I totally had blanked out about the hospital scene before it started. I mean, I guess I just thought it started when she, like, rolled up in her neighborhood. I don't know. I just totally blanked out. And I didn't remember the scene with the back scene with her and her husband.
Right.
So that just added I mean, I guess, you know, we've got to rewatch some of these movies sometimes, because back in the old days when stuff came on TV and you just caught it when it was on, you might have missed the first 5 or 10 minutes.
Right.
So,
yeah, that, like Rich said, that, you know, it's really, the beginning is really intense. After that, it's just the most intense. I mean, you're puckered watching that scene and the way it's filmed, you know, and then the car crashing into the gas station and gas station going up in the air, and just the way it's all shot was just great.
Yeah,
it really gets you going into the movie. Hey, Bethany.
Yeah, it was just, it was extremely well done. The direction in the movie was great. There was some good comedy. Like, what's the guy's, the Modern Family's guy's name? I can't remember his name. I should know his name.
Hold on, I'll look
the
it
guy
up.
With the dark hair. But he was sort of the, you know, comic relief. And he was, you know, he said dead-ish, which I have so desperately wanted to use in one of my books, and now I can't because he did it first. But it's such a good line.
Yeah, well, you stuck it. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, he was just.
And you know the guy? The skinny guy that they end up dragging through the sewer.
Yeah.
He was in Land of the Dead, and there's another zombie movie he was in. He's played a zombie like four times.
Ty Burrell.
Yes, Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell, okay.
Ty Burrell.
Well, the skinny guy that died in the
sewer?
Was it the sewer? I'm thinking the real skinny tall guy that was in the beginning. He was the junkyard man or the whatever in the first Stand movie.
Oh, was he?
The real skinny older guy. He wouldn't. Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna have to find.
He's the one that they're dragging when they were trying to get. They're trying to get to the gun shop. And that's a thing in itself too.
That was a good run.
I mean, when he's holding the sign up at near the end, and it's like, no. So I mean, that was great.
There's two post-credit little films that are little additions. They're actually there's three. There's a post-credit scene where several scenes put together when they're on the boat in the lake, and then they land on the island, and well, you know what happens there. Yeah. But there's two other small short movies, and one of them is about Andy. It's just his, you know, it's maybe 10 minutes long, but it's decent length. And there's another one with a news reporter, and he's talking about what's going on, you know, and you don't see any action at all. It's just, there's a map in the background. He's talking about what's going on. Both of those are really scary too. So they're worth a watch. And I don't know if you find those on like the director's DVD or if it's an edition, but it's, I'm sure you can find them on YouTube. But those are really good.
Yeah, I had a DVD that with the extras on there, and that gun shop thing is definitely, you know, kind of sad. You know, that you feel sorry for the guy, but that was played out really well.
But don't forget the little dog.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, see, when this movie ends, that's where I prefer it ends, not the after credit part.
Yeah, because that was
the nihilistic version.
There goes your hope.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it because it makes you want to know more.
Did they make it?
True. Somebody. Yeah. When you open up, there's a hidden ice chest too. That's kind of like, whoa. Yeah. Who did the? Did Nicotero do the effects on this one?
Maybe. Actually, Tom, that sounds about right.
Tom Savini played the county sheriff in it.
Yeah, Tom Savini. Right.
And you had a.
They're
Scott Reininger played a military guy.
Yeah,
and you had a what's his name?
Peter. He played the priest.
The guy that played Peter. Yeah. He's sci-fi. He's a big horror guy.
Yeah.
In 4E, he played the hell and brimstone preacher on the newscast. So that was cool. And I think one of the stores in there was like named Galen Ross or something after. Galen Ross, the female lead of the original Dawn of the Dead. So they threw out little homages to these people, you know, so that was kind of cool.
I think you can tell that, I mean, it wasn't, I can do it better. It wasn't let's make a lot of money off of making a remake. It was really just, let's have fun in this universe. Let's make this happen and have a good time. And you could tell, and I think that's what transpired when they were filming, is that everybody had a good time.
Yeah.
It must have been a
Hey, Bethany,
movie.
I think that was upside down Phil. That was Phil in the upside down. That's Phil Dunphy. That's what he would have. That's what was probably really going on in his head in the series was that flip side, feel the dick. Anyway, I had something, but
yeah, we're all kind of low energy tonight. I think it's because we missed Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, this show almost didn't happen because we were thinking it would probably be so much better with Scott here, but we did.
We're glad you all showed back
up. Yeah, we didn't have anything backed up. We didn't want to leave y'all hanging. So I will say, let's revisit some of this when Scott does come back.
Yeah, so. For sure. Let's give him his 15 minutes at least.
So my question, while we got some time, is, oh my God, Alan, have you been watching True Detective season 4?
Well, hold on one second. Hold on. I'll get to you in a sec. I'll get back to you in a second, boss. Mike Lewis said Matt Frewer was the older guy that had the daughter. He ended up turning and shot him. Matt Frewer was Max Headroom. If any of you remember that from the 80s, Max Headroom. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good little role there. I've watched the first episode. I haven't seen the second one yet. And yes, it feels like the thing a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely got a thing vibe going.
Yes.
Something's up.
The thing.
I'm so giddy about this show. I don't know. I can barely contain myself. Bethany saying that he was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids too.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. The only thing I hate about True Detective right now is that you gotta wait a week to see it.
It's like, I know.
Who thought of this torturous? What happened to binging? Who thought of this torturous way for shows to be weekly?
My friend Christy won't start watching it until it's all done, so she's got to wait until February. And I've been about to die to talk about it with somebody. I've started watching True Detective season 1 because there's definite tie-ins.
Is there? This is. Have you seen the first season before at all?
Yes.
That was the best season, I thought.
It was probably some of the best TV that's ever been made. It was an incredible show.
I didn't watch 2 and 3. I watched the first one, and I watched the fourth one.
I watched them, and they're unremarkable. They're just...
Yeah, the thing they all have that's connected is they have some good gunfights. Like season 2 has a really good gunfight in it. I believe that's the one with the guy from John Carter of Mars and Colin Farrell in it. It's got a good gunfight in it.
It had Bess from Yellowstone.
Oh, I didn't remember. Yeah, I didn't remember.
She was the Vince Vaughn's wife in it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Good old Vince Vaughn.
You know, you get spoiled on the binging, you know, because, you know, that's how we used to watch TV. You know, weekly, you know, Mork from Mork was on every day, you know, every Monday at 8 or something like that, you know, and you had to wait a week. Netflix comes along. Here's some candy, kids. And now we're screwed. Now Netflix is even doing it. They're even doing jumping to weekly, you know, it's like, you guys.
They want to keep us hooked because they can't come up with the shows like they used to.
Right. They can't.
They've already put them up.
So have you guys made any assumptions or leaps on True Detective?
Yeah, I've made all kinds. I bet Doc has too. I'm going to agree with her.
Do you guys know what Dyatlov Pass is?
I do.
It's an area in the Ural Mountains in Russia where this group of hikers went and they disappeared. And they ended up finding, you know, clothes and, you know, naked dead hikers up there. And what the conspiracy theory is that it was this weird frequency that just made people go crazy. And so there's that possibility for True Detective season 4. But then they're talking about some microorganism that they found as well. So I don't know, it could go either way, or maybe it's a combination of both. But to me, it just doesn't sound like a murderer did this. This is just too weird for that. Having not seen seasons 2 and 3, I don't know what they were about, so I don't know if that was on the superstition, I mean, on the supernatural end, or if it was all just a murderer.
2 and 3 didn't have, like, a lot of supernatural element to it. that I can remember at all. One really did. It was steeped in a lot of that, like, occultism and, like, more like animism, I think, with the antlers and everything. And you're already seeing the antlers and all in this one, in this episode, or in this season of True Detective. But it's definitely got parallels for me between Davlov Pass, The Thing. There's one other one. I totally drew a blank. I'm sorry, guys.
The Thing too?
Squirrel. No. Squirrel. It was the Thing. It was The Thing and Davlov Pass and something else.
Dallas
Wind River. Wind River.
Oh, Wind River. Yeah, because you've got a lot of natives.
Yeah,
natives
in this one. A little bit of a Wind River vibe just because of the Inuit.
So, my original thought when I saw the reindeer was there's some kind of sound frequency or vibration. There's something going on that's got the animals stirred up.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking that way.
Yeah, so
it's good to see Jodie Foster too.
Yeah. Jodie Foster actually does really well.
She does not get out of bed unless it's like Oscar material.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when she was on the Partridge Family as Danny's girlfriend. Wait, was Danny wrong?
Max, it is one of my favorites, and we will be watching it this year. It's on my list.
Yeah, it's a great flick.
It is a good flick. It is a good flick. Very good.
The polar bear,
too. Good call. A one-eyed polar bear. Some creepy, freaky stuff. Which is
polar bears are fucking scary. There it goes. There you go, Max. Everybody take a drink. Polar bears are terrifying all on their own. They don't need anything. You know, they're not afraid of people at all.
No, they actively hunt people.
Yep. We're called dinner. So, there's so many possibilities. I'm eager to see where it's going to go and in which direction. And going back to the Davlov Pass, I've read so many theories about that it could really just be in any direction. Alan, you've got to watch the next episode.
I'll probably be able to catch it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's definitely.
I'll be able to watch it. Good night. Bethany, thank you for joining us.
Oh.
Bye, Bethany. Thanks for popping on. I've read that, Tony.
Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah.
It was sad for me.
Yeah, me too.
As a fan, you know, that's too bad. Because now we're going to start losing all of them. I mean, because I don't think we've lost any of the main cast yet to that. So that's just sad.
Yeah. We're getting old.
Don't bring us down. Sorry, folks.
I'm sorry. I'm all for that, Doc. This is an incredible new show. It needs a lot of time.
I'm telling you, if you haven't seen Fargo, the series, you need to watch it.
How many seasons are there?
I believe there's five. They're all different.
All right. Well,
they're interconnected. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I've got commitment issues, so I'll try, but that's a lot. It's a lot for me to commit to, is five seasons.
Well, give the first, they're all different stories, but there's that interconnected thing. You know, like there might be a character that was mentioned or something, you know, from the previous season. So you don't have to watch, you know, like season one and two are intermingled, but the ones after that are not. Watch the first season. Billy Bob Thornton, it plays great.
You got me at Billy Bob.
Killer. This is going to be successful.
Five isn't too bad, but man, everybody tells me you would love Doctor Who. And I'm sure that I would, but I've heard how many seasons are there, and that's just way too much for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently nobody here's a Doctor Who fan, but there's like 1,000 episodes now. All of my friends tell me I will love it. And I've even had friends say, don't start watching until season 9. That just gives you an idea how many seasons there are.
Is that the David Tennant seasons?
I don't know.
I've heard nothing but good things about that. but I've never seen an episode either. Well, not since the late 70s, I guess. Maybe the early 80s, I don't know. The guy with the curly hair, I can't remember his name.
I remember him from, like, Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, that's when I would watch it.
Yeah.
It looked like something I'd like back then, but, I mean, years have gone.
Yeah. You know, like Doc says, watch it. Tom Baker was like the original, one of the original Docs, and he's great. And then you've got David Tennant. It was just, if you're a fan of David Tennant, it's just, it's fun to watch. It really is.
Well, the guy that was the governor was Wayne, and the guy who was the incestuous uncle on the Dragon show was Wayne. And then
Matt Smith, yeah. Yeah.
And then there's like a girl that's one. So,
yeah. I mean, that's what I don't like about Doctor Who is they keep changing up the cast. You know, the Doctor regenerates every swapping and you get a new Doctor. So you start really liking one, you know, and they get a new one that you may not like. So, I don't know. It's a lot. It's like Supernatural. It's a lot. It's a commitment.
Well, I watched a lot of, and I love Supernatural, but I stopped watching it because it just got to be too much. I mean, like I said, I could make it about, I have commitment issues, people. I can only make it to about 10 seasons. Then I'm like, I'm just done. I need something new. I need a palate cleanse.
Well, that's okay. I'm actually rewatching the X-Files right now. There's like 20 episodes in each season.
Well, and I tell my friend Christy she needs to watch Supernatural. She would love it. It's got some of the best shows ever. Oh, I don't
know. Hey, Tony, they've got a prequel series right now with the Winchester's mom and dad as youngsters. It does it? I haven't seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen it. It's, you know, it's some things you just don't need to go back to, you know? Unless you really have a magic, you know, pen to write something outstanding.
Yeah, they're just looking to make
it money. So the prequel is very CW-esque.
Yeah.
Oh.
Teenage angst?
Yep.
Yeah. No. Nope. You know, they had lightning in a bottle, you know, with what they had. And like Doc said, to me, it got convoluted too. It just, and they focused too much on the demon, you know, angel thing.
Yeah, that's, I think the last season that I really had, and it was waning then, was when they went to Purgatory.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm out. Love you, Dean. But I'm out. Sorry.
I'm out.
Craig brings up a point that Matt Smith was in a zombie movie. So it's called Patient Zero. It's actually really good. It was very, it's like this rabies virus gets in and people just, they go crazy. But the zombies aren't stupid. They're not super intelligent, although some of them are. But there's this, Matt Smith gets bitten, but he doesn't turn, but he can actually speak their language now, which is, it was really well done. Kind of a crappy ending, but. The movie itself.
I think I saw that, but I mean,
it's really good.
I have to rewatch it.
Yeah, Stanley.
Is that Tucci? The one with her?
Yeah,
in underground bunker.
Stanley Tucci. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stanley Tucci. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah. I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't one of my favorites. I thought it was good. Yeah.
Did y'all see the one with Alexander Skarsgård?
No, I don't think so. Wait. When he's in the
bunker. Him and his family are in the bunker. Yeah, that was good.
It was all right. It doesn't go the way you think it's going to go at the end.
That's what's good about it.
Yeah.
It was an unexpected twist.
The Hidden? Is that what it was called?
I don't know. I've got it on my
look it up.
Amazon. But it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up.
You know, sometimes you want a zombie movie. You just want that genre. You know, I go through periods where I really want something apocalyptic, and I'm eager to see what's coming out in 2024. I watched a bunch of movie trailers this morning, and there's some really good stuff coming out.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Have you seen the Aquaman movie yet? I've got that sitting
no
in the queue. Has anyone seen it?
No, I haven't, but I heard it's garbage, which made me sad because I really want to see it.
I don't even want to do that right now. Civil War. Have you seen previews for Civil War?
No.
Yeah.
That's one of the trailers I watched this morning, y'all. It looks good. It is about modern Civil War. So it's very apocalyptic. It's very modern times. It looks awesome.
J.L. Bourne or W.J. Lundy book.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did I tell y'all? So I saw the Godzilla times King Kong.
I haven't seen that either.
That was a good preview.
For you video game nerds, they're coming out with a Borderlands movie. That's happening. And there's going to be a Fallout TV show. So that's both of those things are going on.
So this morning, some of the previews that I watched was Shogun, which I'm all in for that. That's going to be incredible. That guy that I like that was in the that movie, the killer, the House of the Flying Daggers.
Oh, okay.
He's in all the stuff. You know I like him. Yeah. Oh, not Chow Yun-Fat, the other guy. He's in it. It looks incredible. Godzilla times Kong looked good. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, that looked good. Furiosa looks good. And there is a movie called Argyle that I'm all about. It is about a writer who writes spy thrillers, and she somehow gets involved in one. And it looks really good. It looks cute. It's got Dallas Howard in it. And there is a movie called Dimmesdale that kind of had a Wonder Woman kind of history thing looking to it, but I think they have a dragon. I'm all about the dragons.
Oh, I like dragons.
Code 8 Part 2 is coming out on Netflix. Remember Code 8?
Yeah. That was actually not a bad movie. That's what with the mutants, right? The mutants are like, okay. Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
There's a new Ghostbusters coming out that looks good.
Paul Rudd?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was a good one. The one that came out before it was just atrocious.
Dune 2. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Good.
Madam Web. Have y'all seen previews for that? It's Marvel.
Yeah, it looks bad.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, shit. You guys, boom.
The Painter.
Is that like the Beekeeper?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
But it had a guy from he was from a TV show and he was good in it. No Way Up.
Oh, that guy.
The Civil War is the apocalypse thriller, and then Rich Ristucci, here's one just for you, The Tiger's Apprentice.
Oh, I'm a big tiger fan. So
and it is anime kind of what Pixar, whatever that stuff is that you like.
Good. So, can't wait. Yeah, Max, definitely. I'm not throwing any punches. Is that a sequel to The Tiger King?
No, it's about it's my kind of show, but I mean, it's the cartoon stuff that he likes. But the little boy is, I guess, like his grandmother was a guardian, and so this man that's a tiger spirit comes to like take him and teach him the ancient ways of the guardians, and there's like a lady that's a dragon, and this guy's a it's cool, all the stuff.
Now go ahead. I'm sorry,
that's all I got.
I hope we do get Meg 3, Doc. I love the Meg movies. They're cheese. They're popcorn cheese.
That's there is one. Have y'all heard about it? I mean, you must have. It's called No Way Up. It is about a airliner that wrecks into the ocean and plummets, and the people are in an air pocket. And oh no, outside there are great white sharks.
The Scott Baker movie. Hey, boss, looks like we're moving on overtime here.
All right, kids, let's wrap it up. Where you're at, what you doing, tell us all.
I'm just
writing.
I wish I could write more. I just don't have the time. That's it. That's right.
Trying to get a book out.
I'm working on stuff at work, and once I get done working on stuff at work, I'm going to work on my book. Because book three is happening this year. It will be out this year. Good. So tomorrow night on Weird Awakenings, the kids are doing folklore and ooey booey spooky stuff of each state. Tomorrow night, the kids are tackling Kentucky. So you're not going to want to miss it. You know, Cecil and Tully are from Kentucky, so they should know where all the stuff is. It's bound to be fun. And Bethany and Crystal are going to be back in the saddle, I think, mid-February. And I should be posting the Wild Women of Weirds episode once I get it cleaned up. So if y'all missed it, we recorded the talk about the true crime of Gypsy Lee Blanchard. So that was nice. That was a lot of fun. It was always fun with Bethany and Finley. So Michelle, it was a great time. So I guess that's it. So until next time, y'all know what to do.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Listening to me.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Stay weird. Poke the camera, Rich.
Stay weird.